I'd never seen a sesame seed grow until I came to Babylon almost 70 years ago. At harvest time, my husband, Daniel, looks to the tiny seed as cause for great celebration. How inconsequential is a minuscule seed? How incomprehensible its yield? How unbearable the process of growth? A seed is buried. It dies, then sprouts and grows. It blossoms, dries and dies again to be plucked up and used for the purpose of its planting. My husband's purpose in celebration was to mark the passing of years toward prophecy's fulfillment, now just futile poetry. But it caused me to remember things I'd rather forget. It was a day I dreaded all year long. I picked up my polished bronze mirror and tucked a stray tendril of gray curls beneath my new linen headscarf, noting in the reflection his fidgeting behind me. He always had trouble tying a jeweled belt, but his fingers seemed more trembly this morning. Was he nervous too? I set aside my mirror and crossed the bedchamber, nudging his hands aside. Let me do it. Though both his hands and mine were spotted with age and lined with bulging blue veins, at least mine were still nimble. He cradled my head and placed a kiss on my forehead.
Thank you, love. What would I do without you?
I finished the knot and gazed into his rheumy eyes, as smitten as I'd been 66 years ago. Let's hope you never find out. I laced my arm through his. Let's go downstairs. The children are waiting. He opened our chamber door, and lively family sounds floated up from the courtyard below. We descended the stairs slowly, since Daniel's feet pained him. Waiting in our lush green courtyard were three generations of our descendants, seated around four long rectangular tables. Four daughters with their husbands. 21 grandchildren, and 32 greats. Two conscientious grandsons met their Saba Daniel at the bottom of the steps, one supporting each elbow. I was left to follow, alone. The snubbing had begun.
I'm fine, he protested. Tentir Savta.
But Ima said your feet have been paining you, Saba.
Our oldest daughter's firstborn offered an obligatory nod at me.
Shalom, Savta.
I returned the nod with a half-smile, but remained silent, refusing to mock the peace such a greeting offered. One glance at our oldest daughter, Ketzia, assured me there would be no shalom today. She stole sullen glimpses at me while standing beside her husband, Sheshbazar, the prince of Judah's exiles in Babylon. Our other three daughters stood arm in arm with their husbands, eyes trained on the Abba they all adored.
Abba and Ima,
Sheshbazar, whom we lovingly called Shesh, shouted over the dull roar of chattering children and our fountain's happy splashing.
Take your place at the head of the table.
He'd already arranged two brightly colored cushions at the end nearest the stairs and rushed over to support Daniel's arm while he lowered himself. I mouthed a silent thank you and sat quietly beside my husband. Shesh took his place at Daniel's right. Ketzia sat beside her husband with several of her children and grandchildren filling spaces at the large table around us. She avoided my gaze.
You look lovely today, Ketzia, I spoke across Daniel. Is that a new robe, dear?
Her eyes sparked. Are you implying I spend too much money at the market, Ima? No, dear, Nothing I said to Ketzia would be safe.
You are beautiful, daughter. That's all.
Her cheeks pinked, and she looked quickly away, beginning a conversation with one of her daughters about the toddler on her lap, a great-grandson I'd met only a few times. Ketzia's eyes crinkled with a smile that lit her features. She was a good Ima,
at her best when her children surrounded her. Had she learned anything from me before her hatred sprouted and grew?